Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lives
on 95.7 The Game.
I was just going through our text thread.
Yeah.
Which is always active the day after a game.
Yep, we're activated, all of us.
It's an activation sensation.
And it's a buck. And normally Grandy is live on overtime, but he was doing such a good job with Warriors Live and Warriors Post that I was kind
of
stuck with, and I love them both, Sterling and Kyle Madsen. But I missed the quiet hand, the steadying influence of the Grandy, man.
Well, I'll be back tonight for the football hour. And
okay, beautiful.
And you'll be stuck with Kyle again with that as
okay.
well.
Why wait for then? You're here now. Explain
True.
This text, which was received today at 10:43 a.m.
This is from Mark with a C.
Mark with a C.
Okay.
Because I you're capturing the same thing that I'm feeling. And we would love everyone to speak to this today. Because I wrote on Twitter, I think that this is the most frustrating team that I can remember watching in a long time. And I don't mean 49ers. I mean sports.
Sports, man.
Sports. Like, this team is way more frustrating than the Giants. Because the Giants...
Well, the Giants are the Giants.
But they don't have anybody.
Right.
And that's their fault. But I'm not going to that game being like, showtime.
Go Dodgers.
I'm sitting...
The Giants are like me in Fade the Dibber. You're probably going to go 500. Like...
Or under.
I'm only a game under. I was about to be hot.
But you weren't.
I should have been.
And you're not.
Well... And that's on
you
them.
You should be more
that
mad
was a
at,
them yeah. problem
but,
than a me problem.
But we knew this about them.
Yeah, we
so
did.
So you got to bake that into your cake,
yeah,
doctor.
Baker Mayfield that into my cake. Seriously, that should yesterday should have been 38-20.
Of course it. Of every Niner game, we walk away with that game should have, and then fill in the blank.
Right.
And that's my point. So back to Grandy. Quote, I'm not sure when the last time watching the 49ers was as frustrating as it was yesterday. Grandy?
That the last two defensive drives made me want to rip my hair out. Like, in ways that I've never felt that frustrated before watching a sporting event.
And people don't know this, but you've got great hair.
It's early. Hair. He's 28.
Yeah. Yeah.
And quietly, the forehead is creeping into 500.
I got big forehead.
That's what happens.
Pretty soon, it's going to be Chris Berman for that forehead.
Don't come at him with your own wounding over there.
Hey, I'm good.
He's fine, and he's got a life ahead of him, and we'll see how it goes.
All I pointed out was pretty soon, it's going to be Chris Berman, and it is going to go back.
You don't know that, and there are ways for him to battle that, actually. Sure. Anyway, go ahead, Grandy.
Yep.
Bucky Irving, shout out Oregon, running all over the Niners defense. Yep. Nick Bosa being unable to get him down from behind. He had him in the backfield, absolutely confounding me there. The penalty after penalty after penalty on that drive where they ultimately, as you pointed out, Dibs, they stood up and forced the field goal, which was a huge moment, but it shouldn't have even got to that point. Then Nick Bosa, Baker Mayfield's stiff arm is maybe the most individual play, the most frustrating individual play that I can remember as a Niner fan in quite a long time. And so much of this is expectations based. You guys talking about the Giants. Okay, what real expectations do we have for them over the last handful of years? This Niner team, we know what they've accomplished recently. And you feel like, all right, you get Juwan back. You get McCaffrey back. You're coming off of a bye. They're coming off of a short week where they went to overtime on the road against the defending two-time Super Bowl champions. They're without their two top receivers. They lose their star left tackle in the first quarter, and you have to barely eke out a win. Like, you are 10 times better than that Buccaneers team is, or at least you should be, and you probably should have lost that football game, not because they went out there and won it, but because you tried to hand it over to them time and time and time again.
You made enough mistakes to lose it, yes. Like, and this is one of the things I try to get at, because we lay all of those, I call them table setters. You're like, oh, they don't have the receivers. Oh, they've only got 6 days rest. We've got 14 days. Oh, that not just 6 days rest, but they went to overtime. Those are all table setters. Those are why the 49ers are favored going into a game. But I'm talking more about then what happens when the game does start. Okay? Because we can be wrong about those things. And I don't really know what effect those have. Oh, the Bucs are on 6 days and the Niners are on 14. Great. The Bucs are still allowed to go play better. But that's my point. They don't. The game opens up, and it feels like the Niners go up 10-0 no matter who the hell the opponent is. Almost all the time. Not always. One way or another, though, they do get that double-digit lead, unless they're playing the Chiefs. You get your double-digit lead. You can set your watch to it. Here come the mistakes that prevent you from putting a team away. It has bit you twice this year. It has bit you twice. It has turned into losses twice. But even the wins... even the wins are just maddening because they continue to conduct themselves in a way and commit actions that forcibly stop them from pulling away in football games and winning. That's what I see. So if it doesn't go the way we think it's going to go going in, I can wrap my head around that. But I'm talking about simply what happens while the clock is running.
Yeah. And it's a systemic failure, and it, to me, has little to do with the defense. It has more to do with the red zone offense, which, again, they are 29th in football, and you can look at, okay, they're not going to score every time. Fine, you're not going to score every time. You're at 47%, which is 29th. Last year, you were 68%. And all I've heard is, okay, McCaffrey comes back, that should fix it. And so far, one game in, it hasn't fixed it. Baltimore is at 76.7%. And Baltimore's a really good team. So three of every four trips in the red zone, they get a touchdown. The Niners don't. And now you compound it with the fact that your field goal kicker is in a funk, maybe. Or he just had a bad game.
I don't know.
Or he's got a bad foot. Whatever he has, that first half should have never been 10-3. You should have been up 17-3 or 20-3. And I look at beyond just Jake Moody, and I look at the clock management from Kyle Shanahan at the end of the half, which I think was botched again. He's too conservative. The opening drive where Brock Purdy had two guys open and he didn't hit either guy in a drive where you could have kept things moving and you wound up having to punt. You punted from their 39-yard line. Third and seven from the 39. You could have... You could have run it. You could have gone for a short pass. You could have gone for a field goal.
But that's all coulda.
Like, but you didn't.
I know,
my point.
But execution in football games doesn't all, like, every quarterback misses open people. They don't see them, or someone's in their face, or the angle isn't there.
But if we're looking at what went wrong, for me, I don't look at Nick Bosa not being able to tackle Baker Mayfield.
That's a gap. Those
are
two
mistakes.
No, they're two totally different things.
Brock Purdy made mistakes.
Nick Bosa made bigger ones.
They're
not even close.
One mistake.
No, he didn't. He had two. He had the running back wrapped up at the line of scrimmage, and he let him just flick him right off of him.
Well, this is a team that is the league leaders in missed tackles.
And he let the offensive lineman, who's a journeyman,
he's a paid professional, though, right?
Come on.
No,
was he just making excuses?
Was he pulled off the street? I think you're being overly hard on one individual. And I don't think that Nick Bosa was the reason why that game was in doubt.
Why are you only focused on the other side of the ball?
I'm focused on the special teams more than anything.
Well, sure.
I look at early in the game, Brock Purdy with open receivers that he didn't find. He didn't complete passes, and those are points that were left on the field.
I mean, to come out of yesterday's game, and, like, I will grant you, someone asked me yesterday who didn't see the game, how did Brock look? I go, it's not his best game.
Right, he was good.
But
the second half, he was great.
On the list of problems, I'm not getting to Brock until I'm in the teens. Like, for you to come out of yesterday's game pointing at Brock Purdy?
No.
Come on.
I'm not pointing my sole shot at Brock Purdy, but we're talking about where points were left on the field, and there were points left on the field by Brock Purdy.
Right. Execution mistakes happen on all sides of the ball,
including
every game,
defense.
And that's, but they're different levels of them. Like, not seeing a receiver, to me, or not having the angle to deliver, or whatever, is completely different than a superstar pass rusher multiple times having two hands on a player half his size and can't get him to the ground. That's I just see that as different.
Yeah.
And the penalties, that's different. These are self-inflicted wounds. The everything we talk about on special teams, self-inflicted. Nobody's trying to stop you from doing those things. Like, if I'm Nick Bosa and I get blocked or I get double teamed, okay, you got blocked or double teamed. But when you shake the double team, when you fly into the backfield and you've got somebody wrapped around with your big bear claws, and then that person just shoves you off, that's a different level. That's a gaffe. And the 49ers do way, way too much of that. Brock to me was like, I don't know, he floated a lot, it seems like, in the first half. A lot of balls were coming in high.
Yeah.
Wasn't terribly accurate. But when the quarterback walks out of there with 350-plus yards, no turnovers, I got no issue.
Well, you win when he doesn't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to talk about the Baker Mayfield fourth down play, and I'm looking at it here. Floyd had a chance to sack him, and he ran right by him. So, like, the fact that that happened, and if he contains his pass rush, he probably gets to him long before Nick Bosa even has a chance to get stiff arm. So everything defensively is not just one guy.
No, of course not. But again, Nick Bosa has earned every bit of being in the focal point crosshairs. That's how this works. That's how this works. And if you watch the game yesterday, they're literally talking about it in the middle of the game. Tom Brady's talking about it. Nick's getting stonewalled. He got absolutely beat on about 80% of his snaps. And that's not good. And I wouldn't say that about anybody else on the field except for, like, Jake Moody. Jake Moody also had about the same batting average yesterday as Nick Bosa. And they were objectively bad in that football game yesterday as individuals. So I'm not pointing at the defense as a whole. Nick was wildly disappointing, I thought. Moody, wildly disappointing. Daryl Luter, wildly disappointing. I don't want him back there where the ball falls anymore ever again. 888-957-9570. They won, but we're frustrated. Why? Let's talk it out. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. It's Willard and Dibbs.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Wheeler and Dibs each and every week, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, like today.
Yeah.
Steve will be on here in an hour and 40 minutes.
Love it.
And in 40 minutes, the window opens for us to give away a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's game with Klay Thompson in town. I will say this real quick.
Say it.
We'll get to it tomorrow more so than today because it's a Victory Monday. Don't we sound so happy? Yay, Victory Monday.
I'm happy.
I am too.
Yeah.
I got a question for you about that in a second. But the Klay Thompson press conference did not feel good.
Today?
From last night.
Okay.
It did not. It just, all of the questions asked of him. I think the Warriors are just absolutely doing everything they can to make tomorrow night special, and I don't believe that anything will get in their way, but it's fascinating to me that Klay is answering questions the way that he's answering them, and for those of you, I don't want to assume that everybody saw this, kind of said, just another regular season game in November. And then was asked about, like, the hats and the salute. And if you don't know, like, they're giving away Klay captain's hats tomorrow. You can look like Brandon Belt, and you can be out in the stands and salute Klay Thompson in what I'm sure is going to be just an incredibly memorable moment. And Klay's response was kind of like, yeah, I guess that'll be cool for the fans, so kudos to them.
Yeah.
If it felt like Klay was a little upset the last couple years, feels like he still is.
Yeah.
And that's my read.
I get it. And that might be part and parcel of, you know, the way he played in the loss yesterday. He had 10 points on 4-13, so he probably wasn't in a great mood coming off that game. And if you look at what he's done on the whole this year, he's been fine. He hasn't been the old Klay. It has kind of been validating of why the Warriors maybe moved on or why they wanted to have him play a lesser role. He hasn't been spectacular this year. He's been okay. He's been good some games and other games, like last night against Denver where you lose and you go 4-13 and you go 1-6 from three.
I haven't been looking at his box scores.
I've been watching a little bit here and there.
I've seen him, but I haven't, like, what's he shooting for the year from three?
He's shooting 35%.
Okay.
Which is not what Klay normally would shoot.
Yeah.
42 from the floor in total.
And the Mavs are 5-5.
And he's averaging 14 a night. And they're coming off a loss to Denver.
Okay.
And they lost to Phoenix on Friday. So back-to-back losses. They've dropped 3 of 4. So that might be part of it where he's not feeling in a celebratory mood because his new team has not been doing great.
Listen, he gets to answer these questions however he wants to, and he gets to experience this however he wants to, and he gets to feel whatever he wants to feel. And I know just from my perspective, we're going to feel what we want to feel. Nothing is going to change how amazing Klay Thompson was for this team, this organization, this city, all of that. You know, Draymond Green said some things last night where he's just like, I mean, he interrupted a reporter who kind of wanted to get into the emotional side of it. And he's like, NBA Cup game. That's it. And so I get it. Nobody wants to let you in. Nobody wants to show any vulnerability. The idea that this is just like any other game for Klay Thompson is laughable. That's laughable. especially for someone who we know is as in touch with his emotions as Klay Thompson is.
Yep.
Like, miss me with the idea that he doesn't care. Like, that's crazy. He was here for 13 years and won 4 rings. So, like, he built a Hall of Fame career here. But I just think that all of those walls that players put up, especially with what the Warriors have been through the last couple of years, it'd be nice at some point for guys to break those walls down and let everybody see and feel each other for a second. And maybe they'll do that after the game. I don't know. But it's a little... Go watch it. It's a little jarring.
Yeah.
It's a little terse.
And maybe he'll put down those walls when his career is over. And, you know, some players are like that, where I'm on a new team, and if you feel like you didn't leave on your terms, maybe you feel like you were not forced out, but you basically were no longer needed or loved the way you thought that you were going to be needed and loved, and so you find a new team. Maybe you're not ready for that touchy-feely moment.
Yeah, I totally get it. I'll also say this, though. We're going to celebrate you and this, whether you like it or not.
Exactly.
Klay's coming to Chase tomorrow. We're giving away tickets to the game today. Be listening in the 4 o'clock hour. We're giving away a Klay Warriors jersey tomorrow out live on the plaza, where we're building our own Klay Carnival at Thrive City. So we'd love to see you out there. We'll be broadcasting live starting at 10 in the morning. Steiny and Goo will be there. We'll be there. The Mavericks will be there. The Warriors will be there. Maybe you can douse dibs with a bucket of water. I don't know if you're up for that again, but that was tremendous.
Yeah, I'm good.
So, you sure?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm a one-bucket guy.
By the way, you have my youngest son upticking now.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. And for those listening who don't know what that means, my son is very, he's got a very sort of photographic, like he's got a crazy memory.
Yeah.
You watch football, he's 10. You watch football with him on Red Zone, and a Jaguar defensive lineman will break through and get a sack. And he'll be like, oh, that's Billy Jamison. He went to Alabama. What the hell is the matter
with
you?
He's like a baby Scott Hansen.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Scott Hansen knows who half these people are.
Right.
Like, how do you know who that, what? The defensive tackle for the Jaguars. So, when he sees something, click, it's in. So he's been walking around the house doing, you know, 4 is unnecessary. he's got the whole thing memorized.
That's so funny.
Klay, it's about splash, 3. That's good, because he shoots 3s. 4 was unnecessary. 95-7, the game.
He's upticking the old man.
Like,
I love it.
For crying out loud. I needed was a little dibs at home.
That's so funny.
I don't need a dibs doll at home.
Dad, what are we having for dinner? I love it.
Oh,
I'm gonna eat it.
Yeah. Vegetables, kid. That's the answer.
Oh my god.
Vegetables. All right. We're also streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Twitch.tv/957thegame, youtube.com/957thegame. It's all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. So the one thing I can say, and maybe this is sort of the quirky, myopic fandom of a team like this, where expectations will die hard. 9 games, 4 losses, 2 by being outplayed, 2 complete gaff jobs, and then 5 wins, which I'd argue all of them, on some level, you at least had moments of, what the hell are you guys doing? Right? Seahawks. All right, build a big lead, and then suddenly the Seahawks have the ball down 6. And you need Renardo Green to make a pick to end that game. Cowboys, you've got that thing put away. Oh, God, here they come. Yesterday, oh, God, what's happening here? Now, there was the Jets and the Patriots, which largely felt under control the whole time. But even the Patriots had the special teams fumble recovery to start the second half. And they go in, and you're like, honestly, what are we doing here? And then the Jets game, there was no frustration other than 2 things, which is the
6 field goals.
6 field goals, yeah. And the realization that there was a McCaffrey problem. Maybe marred that night a little bit for some people.
But in the moment, we thought the Jets were going to be good. And I say it with a chuckle because having watched yesterday,
it's a good point.
And they only get worse.
They're
and the
terrible.
Jets, like, they're bad. And then they fired their coach. And it's like, oh, maybe that was the problem. No, Robert Saleh is somewhere, probably in Green Bay, sitting on a Barca lounger and laughing because He was not the problem, no, my friends.
No, Aaron's the problem.
And it's more than just Aaron, but you're right.
No, well, Aaron's the problem. It's Aaron and the power that has been gifted to him, I would say. That's the problem. The problem is that Aaron is not who he used to be, but he thinks he is. The organization thinks he is. Davante Adams thought he would be. And so all these people are scrambling to just do whatever Aaron wants, and it's clearly not working and only getting worse the harder they try. Anyway, enough Jets talk for today. But that's kind of what I'm getting at with this team. Nine times you've walked away with at least some measure of like, what was that? Yet I sit here today not discouraged at all from the concept or the idea that this can still get better and head somewhere special. Where are you on that? Like, okay, they're only 5-4. And by the way, we probably should have a talk about the Cardinals pretty soon. I actually think Kyler Murray has quietly gotten a lot better.
For sure.
And they're scary because they don't have the schedule that the Niners do.
Yep.
But I look at this and just come hell or high water, I'm like, no, I'm not giving up on the idea of what the goal was before the season, even though they've sort of given no evidence that that's where this is headed.
They've given a lot of evidence to me, but they just haven't put it all together. And Steiny had a comment earlier today that I thought was spot on, and it's that they haven't played well in all three phases in one game yet. The defense has been shaky at times. The offense in the red zone has been really underwhelming, and the special teams mostly all year, and I look forward to Grandy's grades. I recommended that the special teams get the first ever G, lower than an F.
But actually, F minus.
Looking back at it, I might give him a D minus because Moody did kick the game winner, and they did have a punt down inside the five, and they had Jacob Cowling with a 30-yard punt return that set up another score.
That's a good point.
So there were some positives. However, the greater point is all three phases have not been locked in the same game at all this year. Maybe the opener was an example of that. Oh. And so I'm not looking at this at 5-4 and, you know, looking at yesterday's game and thinking, well, that all is lost. Now, are they good enough if they play like this? Of course not. They're not good enough to beat Green Bay. They're not good enough to beat Detroit. Might be good enough to beat Buffalo on the road, although maybe not. So
I don't know.
You got games that you have to win, and you have to play better. But I look at the way that they can play over the course of one four-quarter game. There are signs that the offense is humming, the defense can be sturdy, and there are special teams plays that can be made and have been made, but they just don't do it consistently for a whole game.
Moody's kick to win, like, yes, you made it. But it tucked in the right side by about a foot, foot and a half.
Never in doubt.
What's the conversation today if he misses that and the Niners lose in overtime?
Where is Anders Carlson? Can we get him back?
Is it a job ender?
No.
I agree with you.
It should be, but it's not. Think? Well, yeah, if you miss four field goals and you lose a game.
But isn't everybody allowed to have just a complete and total stinker?
Not that bad.
Brock Purdy on Christmas. I mean, Jared Goff last night, and he won.
Right.
Five interceptions.
Yeah, I need to call his dad back.
Five? Yeah, how's your MVP candidacy looking now?
Looking shaky, Bob.
And Number five.
Jerry, if you're out there.
Five.
If you're out there, Jerry, this is Dan Dibley, and I've been defending your son now for the better part of a week. That's over. Jared, hang in there, big guy.
You jinxed. You jinxed the hell out of that so bad.
And they won.
And they won.
Dude.
Now that's a kicking performance.
Well, yes.
58 and then like 58 again or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
But that's also emblematic of what we're talking about. Those two field goals both went in by an inch.
But they went in.
Inch.
Right.
Yeah, they went in.
Yeah, just a 10-second quick aside about my home life. So I put the game on, and my 2-year-old comes in, and she's like, Niners, Niners! I'm like, all football is not the Niners, but yeah, honey,
wear blue.
We're watching the Niners.
Yeah, okay.
She's like, Mommy, watching Niners. Yeah, well, I didn't want a buzzer because...
Fade the Milo. What a terrible take.
It was a great take.
It's absurd.
Daddy watching Niners. Actually, I was watching the Niners on my laptop.
Roger Goodell was like, could we play doubleheaders? I think we've got something.
I'm watching
here.
The Niners on the laptop and the Lions on the big screen. Daddy's watching Niners. Yeah, baby. I am. Don't tell your mother that we're really watching the Lions.
That was a hell of a game.
And, I mean, CJ Stroud, I needed 80 points on my fantasy team, so
did you get it?
Not even close.
Probably not.
But I had he and Jared Goff on my team, so I'm like, who should I start? Waka waka waka.
God.
And typical of fantasy, Jared Goff outperformed CJ Stroud in fantasy.
Of course.
But and that's why fantasy's stupid.
Well, it depends. Depends on your league.
Our league interceptions are like no problem.
Nothing. Seriously. Yeah. Nothing. I'm in a different league where any turnover is minus six.
And I love that
league. Craters your day.
Totally.
Craters your day.
Ruined your life.
I had both running backs in that stupid Germany soiree at 6:30 in the morning with those two awful teams. I had both running backs. They're both amazing. Guys are running for over 100 yards. They're getting into the end zone. They're going back and forth. And then the end of the game, both of them fumble.
Oh.
And it's like, never mind. You're not having a good day.
Oh, because it's minus six for all turnovers.
Yeah. You're like, I got 20. You're like, now you have 13.
What about a muff punt? Is that a minus six?
No, because who's got the punter?
No, like if you had like Jacob Cowing, and if he goes to catch a punt.
Nothing that happens on special teams counts for the individuals. He could return a touchdown, and you don't get that either.
Fair enough. That goes to the defensive team.
Anyway,
Anyhow, all right.
Hang in there, Jared.
Yeah, there'll be brighter days ahead. Turns out I had it right.
Turns out. It was still a pretty bright day.
My God.
They're good.
Five picks and a win.
This is what discourages you about the Lions and the Chiefs. They can get outplayed. They can have everything go wrong. Check. Win. There you go. We won. You're just like, but you're not the best team. Yes, we are. We won. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
Goff became just the third quarterback in the last 30 years to win a game in which he threw at least five interceptions.
Given that one was a halftime Hail Mary, that's not really his fault.
Pick's a pick.
Pick's a pick.
You know who the other two quarterbacks are who have thrown five picks and a win? Matt Ryan in 2012. And
Grady was leaning forward to hit the game show music.
This one's too hard and too esoteric. Yeah, like, Tony Romo in 2007.
Oh, actually, that sounds like Tony.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that sounds like
Matt Ryan and Tony Romo. Okay. This according to NFL.com.
Yeah. I would have guessed Jameis.
Yeah.
Well, no, they lost. When he do it, when he does it, they lose. Yeah.
And Brock only threw four.
Four. The Niners threw five.
Even though Greg Cosell said it was two, and I had to correct him, it was four.
Wow.
And then I said it was five. Well, nobody cares about that.
One of them was Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Greg is right. Brock's interceptions don't count.
Right.
They're not my numbers.
Exactly.
Right?
Because tip balls are fluky. When you throw right into a defender,
no,
whatever.
Listen, I don't think Brock's game yesterday actually was his resume game at all.
No, but the final drive, you get the ball back at your own 35 after a touchback, and you go, five plays.
No, he was really good in the second half, and the ad lib play to Kittle, like that's the good stuff, dude. That's the dessert.
And the lob throw to CMC was awesome,
my God,
delicious,
that was incredible. So, yeah, phenomenal second half. First half, wobbly, but nothing that shoots you in the foot. That's kind of what I'm focused on today. That's where my head is, A, I don't want to hold the Niners to that kind of standard. Like where Brock Purdy goes 353, two touchdowns, no picks, game-winning drive with less than a minute to go, and we're coming out going, kind of wobbly. It's like, well, wait a minute. Like, everybody gets to have a bad throw or a bad play. My focus on Nick Bosa was that he got beat repeatedly all day long. And if he's hurt, let us know. Or I don't know, sit out. You couldn't get people to the ground. Thank goodness the guy went in there and got a huge sack in a big moment. But outside of that, he did very little yesterday. So we can talk about individuals that have a bad game all day. Jake Moody, that's a bad game. But outside of that, Like, I don't mind if you go out and you mess up a little bit. That's football. It's the self-inflicted stuff. It's the constant penalties that seem to wait for the fourth quarter, or the special teams out of position, lacking focus. And even that, I'd be like, well, those things happen. They happen every
week. Yeah,
week.
And you know, none of those self-inflicted penalties were Bosa. They were, sure. You know, I was just looking back at during the break at some of the penalties on that last drive, and you had Rakyasin, who is in there due to injury, and yep. Charvarius Ward unable to go for obvious reasons, and he held. And then you had Fred Warner with a face mask, which was a pretty easy call, and then Anderson with a hands to the face where he almost took the guy's head off, and those are, you know, they're frustrating, but they're just discipline and attention to detail kind of penalties, and that's what kept that drive going, especially the one on 3rd and 7, the Fred Warner face mask, where you were going to get off the field. Yep. You finally blitz a team that doesn't blitz. You blitz Fred, and he goes in there, and he gets the face mask, and he twists, and it's an easy call.
Yeah, I just like, I also look at when another team is moving down the field on you. Like, and I think this is largely what Mahomes has done through the years against the 49ers. If they're moving down the field on you, you want to get mad at your defense. Like, ask yourself, is the other team just making plays? Because this is adult stuff. These are all really, really good players, good coaches, all of that stuff. If you rush the passer and he, you know, Lamar Jackson wiggles free and nails someone 27 yards down the field, do what you're going to do for Klay Thompson tomorrow night. Tip your cap. Tip your cap. The Bucs went down the field, and outside of what Baker did to Nick, which I don't really find all that excusable, they didn't make any plays. Baker did not have to make plays. It was dink, handoff, penalty. Dink, handoff, penalty. Rinse, repeat. Over and over. There were no, wow, he threaded the needle on a 20-yard pass down the middle to Kate Otten. There wasn't any of that.
They had zero plays over 20 yards all game. Zero. And I was just looking at the box score for, like, the long catch or the long run. There wasn't one. The 17-yard pass to White when, and I was watching it again and again, and Nick Bosa has two hands on his left arm, and I guess Nick Bosa's supposed to stop his feet and then like yank him back, but it was kind of just an awkward thing where he's got his arm and Mayfield's going one way and Nick has his arm and he's kind of going with him, right. And it just looked almost like a ballroom dancing move. I don't know, like the normal thing is if you have a guy's jersey then maybe you can pull him back. I don't know why he didn't pull his arm back, if he felt like he had a hold of him and like Baker was just gonna come with him.
I don't know.
It was weird. And then the throw goes between three defenders who all were kind of there, and White goes up, boop, 17-yard completion. That was maybe the most explosive play of the entire half for Tampa.
Yeah.
And it came in such a fluky way.
Yeah, they're not capable without their wide receivers. So that's kind of where I'm coming from on this, is that you watch the 49ers play football, and one way or another, you get to the fourth quarter, and whatever the scenario is, you feel like it shouldn't be that. And I don't think that that's because we're fans. Like, I don't think that. Like, Tom Brady thought that yesterday. He said it. He said it on the broadcast. He's like, this is unbelievable. The 49ers have messed this up 17 different ways today. That's Tom Brady. He's not a 49er fan. I think he's still mad at the 49ers, in fact.
Yeah.
He's part owner of the Raiders. So I think that's an objective take. What causes that? What do we do about that? So the Niners win, and that's great, but it was a frustrating feeling. Why? Why for you was it frustrating? We'll keep taking your calls. 888-957. 957 is the number. Tickets to the Warrior game tomorrow night are on the line starting in 18 minutes. Steve Kerr joins us at 5. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises, weathered in dibs.
Sets his feet, throwing an end zone for Kittle. Oh, he came down! He did! Touchdown! My only responsibility on that play was to get covered by the safety so Christian could score a touchdown. And so I got covered. Christian didn't score. And I'm just kind of trying to find Brock in the back, which is, it's hard to see sometimes because, like, one of his only shortcomings is that he's not the tallest quarterback. He's just hard to see sometimes. But, like, one thing I love with Brock and scramble drills, like, if you do lock eyes with him, like, he is going to give you time to make a move and get open. And so he did. Once we locked eyes, I tried to give him space in the corner of the end zone, and he just dropped a dime like he always does.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
There's George Kittle after the game. Yeah, Brock's shortcoming is, you know, he's just small.
Yeah, not that tall.
But dropped the dime. That was a pretty play. Yep. Pretty catch. Pretty catch, too, by George in the corner of the end zone. What's going on, everyone? Glad you're with us. In honor of Clay Thompson coming to Chase Center tomorrow night, we're giving away tickets to the game today and a Clay Warriors jersey tomorrow. The ticket giveaway, be tuned in just after 4 o'clock. And we'll tell you exactly what you need to do to win. And then tomorrow is the jersey and the Clay Carnival out at Thrive City. Steiny and Goo and Dibs and I will all be out there doing our shows, getting ready for the game. So stay locked in, and you'll get all of that information here momentarily. Also, we're going to do Grandy's Grades around 4:15, since we would rather not do that when we're in the middle of our Claycation tomorrow.
Yeah.
Out there on the plaza. That's going to be a lot of Warriors stuff for sure. So we'll do that in a little bit, although Steve Kerr is going to join us at 5. 888-957-9570. Might want to weigh in on this, too. So what's your take on what happened with Deebo Samuel, Tabor Pepper, and Jake Moody on the sideline?
Well, it's two things. One, it's not a huge deal, because when you are a pro team, things are going to happen in the heat of the moment. The other piece of it is, where does he get off coming up to somebody and trying to get in their face about a failed performance? Now, it would be one thing if it was a lack of effort. I think Jake Moody was trying to make the kick. I don't believe that Jake Moody was jaking it, pun intended. I think that he was out there trying to make the kick, and you could see by his facial expressions that he was really wearing it, and he was feeling it, and he was losing confidence. So for Deebo Samuel to go over there and to do that and say whatever he said, which was more, I would bet, than, hey, dude, mix in a make. And, you know, Tabor Pepper right. immediately jumps to his defense. So that's not what you do when you're a teammate and you're a leader. So it's one thing for Deebo to say, like, oh, yeah, you know, I had a lapse, a momentary lapse, and this and that. And that's fine. Everyone's entitled to make a mistake. But I thought that was just out of line. And to me, it speaks to a lack of leadership in the locker room. Like, what's going on where that's going to happen? If you're a leader, you don't do that. Like, I don't know, and I think about Steph Curry, and it's hard because he's one of the greatest leaders of all time, but I don't know if he's ever gone up to somebody in that fashion after, you know, what, missing three free throws and, like, getting in their face.
Different style of leadership, though. Like, what if I argued that like, leaders sometimes do that? And devil's advocate for a minute, because that's not necessarily my sure. point or my take. But, I mean, it sounded like you guys were about to open this door earlier on the crossover. What if Debo's first name was Draymond? Then would it be okay?
No.
Why? Draymond does it all the time, and we call him the leader, the heartbeat of the team.
Right. Does he, like, put his hands on people? Yes, and well, but that person's no longer here.
But that was after the fact. That was at, like, and not the Jordan Poole thing. I'm talking about the Deebo thing.
Oh, I'm talking about the Jordan Poole thing.
I know, but the Deebo putting hands on someone was after the fact. Like, his comment was made to Moody, and then Deebo putting hands on Tabor was based on Tabor's reaction to what Deebo said.
Right.
Right.
And we don't know what Deebo said.
We don't know it, but
it probably wasn't, hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
And I know everyone's focused on the phrase lock in. I'm sure there were a lot of F's. And the words lock in don't have any F's in them.
Right.
But yeah, you need to bleep and lock in and make those, dude.
Well, and I was watching the replay again this morning, and I just was watching it here on my laptop during the commercial, and you could see him go right over to Jake Moody as he's coming off the field. Because Moody misses, and, you know, you see Maybe it's Wisnowski. Maybe it's Tabor Pepper. A couple guys go over to him and go helmet to helmet and pat him on the head with a, hey, you know, hang in there because you missed three. Now this is three. And as the camera is cutting away, you can see a headband, or yeah, he's got the headband on, Deebo Samuel beelining off the sideline toward Jake Moody. That to me is not leadership. It's not what you do.
It's interesting.
Everyone's going to react differently. I know that if I make a mistake and Jake Moody realizes when you miss a third field goal and a field goal that's going to put you up six, and it doesn't win the game, but it's a big kick and it's a big deal, and he knows that his job is to make the kick. So the last thing I want when I make a mistake is to have somebody come up to me and tell me how much I need to not make that mistake.
That's totally fair, but that's you. I don't know Jake. Like, listen, there are a fair amount of people who have played in NFL games who today are saying not only is that appropriate, it's normalcy, and it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
I mean, we don't have any evidence to say that it didn't. I know where you're coming from, which is that's not what did it. I don't know what did it.
Nobody knows.
And by the way, he was 2 feet away from not doing it.
Right.
Like, I mean, he almost missed that one too. He didn't, and so that's wonderful. But, like, I've had a number of, like, we've watched, it's all over the internet. This is very, very discussed topic today. The facility on FS1 with Emmanuel Acho and LaShawn McCoy, whole show is about it today. And Acho is with you. He's like, that's completely out of line. And LaShawn McCoy is like, it's not only in line, it's a must. That's why Deebo is one of the boombox guys. You got to go wake people up sometimes. This is not an office job where it's totally inappropriate to speak to people that way. This is more like a restaurant job where if you bring the wrong meal to three tables in a row, someone's going to go, dude, wake up.
Well, it's a double standard. Nobody did this to Brandon Ayuk when he came out after his hold in.
We actually don't know
and
that.
We didn't see anybody beeline on the field and get in his face.
I mean, we didn't see it. I don't think it happened. Three times in a row happened either.
It's a double standard, is what it is. And maybe Deebo Samuel took an opportunity with a kicker, a guy who is not seen as a real football player, and you've made this point before.
It's true.
I've talked to many pro football players. You don't look at a kicker. Ask Lo Neal sometimes his feelings about Al Del Greco, one of the great kickers.
Yeah.
Oh, he can't stand Al Del Greco.
That's the thing.
Because Al Del Greco missed a big kick, and Lo's out there, you know, blocking linebackers and defensive tackles, and he's out there blood, sweat, and tears, and that big moneymaker, his forehead, and you're out there giving you're laying it all on the line, and then Al Del Greco comes out, and he can't hit a 37-yarder, and you're going to feel some type of way about
it. There is specialistism in the NFL.
There's
no question. And by the way, they're all subject to the same minimum salaries, right? If you're a veteran and you've played multiple years in the league, that special teamer who's flying down the field to get a concussion every single week gets the exact same salary as the guy who never gets touched. Of course, unless it's a Niner kicker who's decided we got to go tackle people every week. Outside of that, though, these people are free and clear. Now, I'm largely with you. I'm with you because I don't think that the way we look at this feels good. Where players on the sideline are like, I'm the one beating my head against the wall. Well, that's your skill set, and you're highly paid for that. You know, if Deebo Samuel's, oh, this guy just walks out here. Well, Deebo, you make $25 million a year. What's Jake make? So that's all baked into how we do this. So don't hold it against him. Because his specialized skill, which is very good, by the way, maybe not yesterday, but you get what I'm saying. It's not like everybody on the field can go do that. So I'm more for the, just because his position's different, it still deserves your respect. It still deserves your acknowledgement. What I'm not disagreeing with you, but the one area where I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what makes Jake Moody tick. And a lot of people do like to be coached hard. A lot of people do need
it. Yeah, but he's not his coach. Well, so, but
in a football team, you need that. You need leadership from your players.
Yes.
There's too many people over there to just be like, all right, set a meeting with Kyle because you've missed three field goals in a row, and Kyle knows exactly.
Like, yeah, that's not coaching, and it's not Debo's place.
They need to police themselves some. I'll fight for that.
But that is not, for me, that's not policing. What that is you going up to a guy who clearly is in a low moment, having just missed a field goal. He understands how important it is for him to do his job. I would imagine Jake Moody's a field goal kicker, understands that he is expected to make it almost every time. And if you don't make it, well, it's not okay. It's never okay unless you're up 27-0 and it's an, oh, by the way, field goal, fine. In that game yesterday where the offense is frustrated because they can't get in the end zone, and now we got to rely on Jake, and he's missed two. And if he makes this one, we're up six. And game's not over, of course, but at least you feel like the game is more in hand and you miss it. Well, if everybody felt that way, then you would have had 47 guys run over and get in his face, but only one guy did. So I'm not buying that.
Right, but that guy is one of the people who is in that position on this team. And again, I'm not saying that you can make Jake Moody some sort of a lesser person on this sideline because he's a kicker and because he doesn't make or take hits. That's the part about this that I don't like. But the idea that like teammates or coaches or anyone cannot have very tense, emotional conversations in the middle of games, that I reject. I don't know that I've seen many games where that doesn't happen.
Right, but bring that same energy to another person who is maybe a little bit stronger.
Maybe he does.
He does it.
No, but you don't see it all the time.
You don't see it because it doesn't happen. When Trent Williams false starts and he holds, does he run up to Trent and go, dude, Trent, stay in your stance till the snap, dog?
Probably not to Trent.
Because you're effing killing us.
But Trent's earned otherwise. That's a future Hall of Famer, number one.
It's just easier to do it to the kicker.
But we wouldn't know that Debo even did this if Tabor hadn't gotten into his face and then there was a shove. So my point is, I don't think we do know how often this happens, because we very easily would have missed this one too if it didn't turn into a shoving match. So I think this happens a lot. I really do.
Yeah, I don't think it happens nearly as often as you're portraying. No. I think you've got a kicker who is a younger guy, second-year player, and he's having a bad day, and Debo took the opportunity to not coach him up, but to make him feel worse.
You know, I mean, look, Debo sounded partially regretful, said he stepped out of his character a little bit.
Right.
But also, I didn't hear anybody after the game be like, this is a big deal or we have a problem.
That's football.
And again, like, he made his next kick.
Right. Thank you, Debo.
Yeah.
Couldn't have done it without you.
I mean, who knows?
Right.
Don't know otherwise. Like, are you arguing that that's never the right way to coach someone?
I'm not arguing it's never the right way, but it's not his place to, and that's not coaching. I don't want to portray this as coaching.
Whatever. Team, like
that is a teammate being frustrated at another teammate.
How about tough loving?
There was no love in that.
How do you know?
I mean,
we don't know what he said.
Right. Well, whatever he said, the long snapper had to step in and basically tell him blankety, blankety, blank.
Right, but that bothered him. It did. Did you see anybody else come to Tabor Pepper's defense?
No, it was just the three of them there.
Okay. Like, they're all aware of what's going on.
Right.
I didn't see anybody.
And Tabor Pepper stood up for the kicker because he thought that what Debo said was out of line.
So that's his opinion.
Exactly.
That's his opinion.
And I would lean, no matter what was said, I would look at Tabor Pepper and say, you know, the long snapper's probably not going to stand up for a kicker who just missed a third kick unless what was said was out of line.
Well,
it wasn't tough love, and it wasn't coaching, my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know what was said. I don't know what gets Jake to work, and the next kick was made. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I don't know if the opposite opinion or your opinion is right. I don't know what was said, but I don't think that this is that rare. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.